Up, Dolphin fans, welcome to another collective. No game this Sunday, so no preview, but we still have a bunch of things to talk about. So we're going to get into all of that good stuff, but obviously we have to do some housework, have to get the sponsorships in here. They help us go up. Everyone's gone and they're back. They help us keep the lights on, starting with SeatGeek. Go use them, promo code FINS. You get $20 off your first purchase. So again, if you're not going to the game, obviously there is no game. Are the Hurricanes playing at home this weekend?
Yes.
At Virginia Tech, I believe.
You can go to that game. Grab yourself some tickets. Use the promo code FINS. Also, don't forget about Sleeper. Now, I think we'll do a sleeper on here. Let's do a sleeper real quick. I'm going to pull up
action.
A game. What game? Like, no, last night's game.
Holy, I know the game you need.
I'll take over six sacks.
Last night's game was rough.
I know a game you should pull up, Doug.
Which one?
Game of the week, baby. Browns Raiders.
All right.
Because Shedeur Sanders has started.
Shedeur Sanders. You get a multiplier on this one for Shedeur. 163.5 passing yards. So instead of it being 0.178 times, it's now 2 times if you go with the more.
Man, I'm on there now. Let's put my sleeper app.
Ashton Gentry.
Does it have sacks on Shedeur?
Let's see.
Tell you, Allen, no mess this week up.
I think it's just no. It's not like Tua where he had interceptions.
He's throwing interceptions against Washington. Do you think Shedeur is going to tank, or do you think Shedeur is going to excel?
He's going to have an MVP performance.
He better, man, because he had a full week with the first team.
310 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. 17 rushing yards, 22 for 30.
You know how it's sad? You guess what Geno Smith's more or less is?
For your passing yards? For what? Oh, interceptions.
Oh, wow. In the Browns.
I guess it's the competition between Tua and Geno Smith. Go use the sleeper app. It's super fun. You can also do picks. You could do, and it's not just NFL, NBA, college football. Go check them out. Use the promo code HMA. You get $100 matched. 100% matched up to $100. There we go. Also, check out our podcast form, Spotify, Apple, all that good stuff. If you want to become a member, hit the join button next to the subscribe button. So, we got some things to talk about, starting with Waddle. Is Waddle still tradable? What I'm interested in seeing is who's the new GM and what is the trajectory that this new GM is going in? Like, is it 2026, we need to fix the money and we need money? Or is it 2026, we need to build a foundation? Because that's kind of where Waddle being traded can come in. You know for a fact the Bills are kicking themselves they didn't give us a 2026 first and a third, because I think he would have been traded if they did. Omar, is Waddle?
No, absolutely not. No, absolutely not.
Oh, stop.
For a first round pick, that's going to be pick number 28, 26 at the best.
They might not make the playoffs. I don't know, man.
For Waddle? No. I mean, Waddle's about to be a 1,000-yard receiver for the fourth year in his career. I'm not sure many Dolphins receivers have ever, this guy right here. How many Dolphins receivers have had 4 years of 1,000-yard reception seasons?
Duper Clayton immediately come to mind.
Maybe Irving Fryer. How many years did he spend?
Oh, Irving Fryer wasn't with the Dolphins long enough.
Okay. Yeah, it might be Duper Clayton.
Maybe the only two.
Duper Clayton, Chambers might have had it.
I'm looking up right now.
No, Chambers might have had only one, actually.
Yeah, he only had 1,000 yard in 2005. Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
Right?
But again, you have a lot of the good ones and didn't last very long with my Brandon Marshall had one or two, but he was gone.
You know,
I can't say that name. Sorry, Omar. Sorry.
Jakeem Grant did it.
Did what?
Tyreek had three, and he would. Tyreek had three.
I let my beef go with Jakeem Gray. I think we made
a question here. We're delaying here with all this research.
Yeah, is Waddle still tradable?
Yeah, he is.
I think we need. What do you get for him?
What would you accept for him? What would you
accept for him?
It would have to be a top 15 first round pick for me. Just bottom line.
No. And again, it depends. Like Doug made a good point. Depends what the overriding organizational philosophy is next offseason, whether it's a full rebuild or whether it's, and especially if it's Champ Kelly, Mike McDaniel, and Tua as a trifecta, there's no way to get rid.
See, here's the thing.
Stop eliminating.
I know it's a possibility. I know it's a possibility. But in my mind, they got to win at least five. If we're going to do Steve Ross standards, it would be four of six.
By the way, did you guys catch that? He did an interview. Was it on CNBC? I think it was today.
Steve Ross?
Yeah. There's a clip on the social media. Not talking about the Dolphins. He was talking about the business of the NFL or whatever. Go ahead, Omar.
No. He's ashamed of what's going on here. That's why he doesn't talk about it.
Wow.
So
it's been 4 years now since he's in stocks.
So. Yeah. So that's why he doesn't talk about it. Now he'll talk about business because he's an expert in that, and building because he's an expert in that. He's an amateur at owning a franchise team.
Yeah, he's the young. He's not the youngest because there's been some recent.
No, there's a lot. He's like in the middle of the pack in terms of, and that's the thing. Longevity. You know what I find very interesting? Him and the Jaguars owner, Poupard, Khan, what's his name?
Khan.
Khan?
Chad Khan, I think his name is. They both have.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Doug, for laughing at that. Nobody else got it.
I got it.
Shaka Khan, thank you.
Him and that owner both have a same comparable reputation in terms of. Yeah, people, do you really want to work for him? And the Cohen dude, who's now the head coach, remember he turned him down initially. Yeah, he did. He turned him down. And then they had to improve the offer, give him full power, make him fire the GM, allow him to fire the GM and get his own GM. And that's really the situation that Steve Ross is going to find himself in if he wants to land the talent that he wants.
Or he's going to run it back with the mandate one more time, and this time I'm really not playing around. Status quo will really not be acceptable.
So we have Mike McDaniel as an owner. He just wants everyone to like him.
Listen. Here's why my theory, he won't do what Poupard is saying that he's going to do. I do know it's a possibility he can because he's scared of the hiring process.
Yeah.
But I believe he won't do that because his CEO, the business manager, the man who has excelled in everything he touches, the man with the Midas touch will tell him, I can't sell this.
Sure. Who?
Tom Garfinkel.
Garfinkel, okay. Yeah.
So I got a question. Tom
Garfinkel says, I can't sell this. Steve will be forced to do the hard thing.
So being that we're talking a little front office here, I got a question because Connor Orr and Albert Breer had on, I think it was Monday, they had a conversation talking about how all the owners are talking about how Mike McDaniel is kind of a hot commodity if he does get fired, and he'll like instantly get a OC job and probably get, you know, do you think Stephen Ross sees what or hears what everyone is saying about that and goes, I don't want to let him go yet. Like, oh, you know, if everyone likes him, maybe, you know, blah, blah, blah. Do you think there's that aspect to it?
It's funny because I was just writing something and I'm sorry if I'm hogging the show. I'll allow others.
No.
Shocker. No. No.
Here. Hold on. Here.
We're your sidekicks, Omar. Come on.
The Omar Collective with
it's Omar and the Omar.
I deserve all of that. I humbly bow down to Omar the money. I deserve all of that. Show
me the money.
Okay, make your damn point already.
Funny so thing the chattering point. About Mike McDaniel, is that what's keeping Steven Wolf?
Yeah. I've heard, I mean, Mike, especially the sixth offensive lineman now, like people are looking at it like, wait a minute. Like, this is kind of genius. And like, that's, what are you making that face for?
I knew.
I mean, sir, like, first of all, we've asked Mike McDaniel, how come you don't use a sixth lineman? And first of all,
we did.
I know. And it's like, and I'm sorry if I'm cutting you off and stealing away from your spotlight, but you're basically with Waller on IR, because the move came after Waller went on IR, and it's like the passing game is Waddle and who else? Okay, let me try something else. Oh, about a sixth offensive line. I mean, it's good creative problem fixing, but let's not pretend, you know, he just invented like.
No. But he stumbled upon it.
And
he stumbled upon it. He's like, holy crap, this crap works. Let me do this and do this and do this and do this and do this. Create this and this. And it's like it's invented an offense for him that people haven't figured out how to stop yet. Now, they'll probably figure it out eventually. But it's like you can run through it.
Washington, so let's. I mean,
huh? Oh yeah. I mean, but you did just build up the Buffalo Bills with it.
Have you noticed we lost Doug? Doug's not interested in our conversation anymore. He said, "To hell with those guys, I'm leaving."
I had to take care of something.
But people are talking about Mike is a genius. That's the only way I've ever heard him described by anybody. They don't say he's a leader. They don't say he's a great, phenomenal coach. He's an offensive genius. He's an offensive mastermind. He'll get a job like that.
Yeah.
But why would he – he's going to have offset language in his contract. Why would he want to work? Like, you're working for free. You go take a job doing something else.
And people saw his interaction with Debo and was like, see, the players like him. But my pushback to that was – you'll have some players in the entire locker room that will like you. It's about coaching the entire locker room. And I feel like that's where he lacks as a head coach. He's a fantastic OC. And like I said, Brian Flores is a fantastic defense coordinator, but it's about being a head coach. And I think, for me anyway, that's where Mike McDaniel lacks, is the head coach ability.
TD, you've been awfully quiet.
Oh, I just didn't want to, you know, cut Omar off. But no, I'll just play it. first, I'm going to go back to the Waddle tradable.
Last episode we were talking about?
I know. I never said it, but it's not. It's all good. Waddle is definitely tradable. I think here's what's going to happen in the offseason. Buffalo set the standard of we're in division, so we got to give a little more. It was first and third. We didn't have a problem with it. We just had a problem with the placement.
But the first 2 years from now, not next year's first.
I get it. But you know what? Since all we have is Waddle and A-Chain, all they got to do is finish the year out strong, and that's going to be the starting bid. And I think in the offseason, you're going to have four or five teams lined up to make that offer.
Especially since they've already paid the freight of the contract.
Yeah, and you might get a first and a second out of it if he continues playing great football. People will fight for what they want. Look at the desperation Buffalo is in now. They know Buffalo might come right back to the table and say first and second. They
Tyreek Hill got a one, a two fours, and three and a other
picks.
Two fours and a six. Tyreek Hill, sorry. Was on a whole different other level than Jalen Waddle. And
but Alan, the thing you got to consider, whatever level was 3 years ago, this is the new price. It's going up.
No, it's not. No,
AJ Brown got traded for.
Thank you for one number one.
It all depends on the circumstances.
Waddle isn't disgruntled.
Waddle isn't having a contract dispute. Waddle isn't having any of those factors that
he's not a diva, which I think you're going to get.
He's not a diva. He does.
You're going to get good premium because he's not a diva.
Are you suggesting AJ Brown is a diva? Is that where you're going with this?
Oh. Well, now, I mean, it's
sarcasm. Sorry.
But I'm just saying, I think that we're going to be shocked at offers we hear about Waddle in this upcoming offseason. And I think that we might actually get an offer that can't be refused. And I think that they could end up trading. So if a team said a first and a second, we're going to turn it down.
You're not depends on where it is. Kansas City's first and second. No, thanks.
I understand what you're saying. We're not getting it if a team. Well, y'all said we wouldn't get the first and the third.
No, I'm just saying you. If
the first again, as I mentioned, or the first was in 2027. If and then by draft rules, basically in the draft value, you go down a round. So technically, it was a second and a third.
I'm sorry. It when it was the Giants who definitely were interested because Daboll was trying to save his job.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have Giants, more of that. You're going to have more of that.
If the Giants had a first round pick on the table, I would have taken it. That probably would have been a top five pick.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't. So you understand what I'm saying? I can't say he'll never be traded because I don't know who's going to be running this franchise. I don't know mm-hmm. what their thought process is. Mm-hmm. I can tell you just about every person except for Mike McDaniel gets here and they say restart, reset, start over. And I expect that to be done here.
As it should be. Next person, Devon Achane, man I talked to and had the opportunity to chat with.
You had the opportunity to chat with him?
What happened?
You had the opportunity to chat with Achane? I missed that. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, I went on Tron's channel. Well, I told the guys how I was briefly informed about
that. How you maneuvered that, how you flirted with that.
Yeah.
The story is a funny one. But yeah, should he be paid the big bucks? Now, it depends on the type of back and what you put the value at the different backs, right? Because, you know, Achane is going to see himself as a three down back and an every down back, even though, you know, he also considers himself. Tron asked him,
he is a three down
back. If they asked you to play slot full time, would you do it? And he was like, yeah, I'll play slot. So it's that, you know, Swiss Army knife of the offense. Where do you put that value? I'm for keeping him, obviously. I'm for having that 1-2 punch with him and Ollie. You know, you have a bruiser of a back paired with Devon Achane. So I'm for keeping him. I just don't know what the definition of big bucks is. So
I've already written a column about it. He's probably going to be looking for $25 million in guaranteed money, $50 million contract. The Dolphins
years
don't matter. Just guaranteed money matters. I don't even care about years.
1 year. Omar's
philosophy on contract.
1 year, $50 million. Years don't matter.
You know what it is.
A
10-year deal for $50 million. Like it, you know, the deal in the NFL. Sorry if you do not follow me. In the NFL, a contract in my mind is only as long as the guaranteed money is there. If you have 2 years of guaranteed money or 3 years of guaranteed money, that's how long your contract is.
So what are you thinking? Guaranteed at signing? Or
I could literally name the players who have signed more than 4 year deals and have finished their contracts with this team. I can name them.
Go ahead.
I know you would challenge me. Randy Starks.
Hold on, I'm not
going to do that because it takes too long.
When you're talking guaranteed, are you talking like total guarantee of the entire contract or like at signing? Because I have all the rankings here, so I just want to see where we could put.
I only deal with guaranteed initial signing, but then what the real guarantee is I'll give you your third year if you're on the roster in 2026. And so sometimes it you have to read the language of the contract. So but generally most contracts are guaranteed for the first 3 years.
Your top five right now guaranteed at signing is Saquon 36, Ashton Jeanty 35.8,
that's
Derrick Henry 24, Christian McCaffrey 24, and then Bijan Robinson 21.9.
That's a rookie deal. You can't count. You got to exclude the rookie deals because those are slotted based on where they were drafted. And I think some of those deals, those are current deals or those are all time?
Current.
Okay, because I think Derrick Henry has a higher guaranteed figure. And I think Saquon Barkley is number one, right?
Yeah, 36.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, what about the one in Indianapolis?
19.3. So if you take Bijan's rookie out, he would be number five with 19.3.
Here's why, like, for Omar, like, here's why I love to consider the years, because I see what you're saying. Only the guaranteed money matter. That's a fact. But here's why I consider it. I don't know why I'm praising Omar. But
hold on. A little bit going on here.
But this is why I consider the years, because I like the 1 and 2 year contracts. It's important to know for reasons like this. Look at Saquon Barkley's contract, right? It's a 2 year, $41 million, but $36 million guaranteed. So he's going to see the entire 41. It's a 2 year deal. He's going to play that second year, so he's going to see it all.
Hold on. I got to look at Saquon Barkley's contract. I don't know the figures because I know it just got redone. So
I could pull it up. It'll look weird in here, but essentially 2020. So this year it's a $6.6 million cap hit. Porsche option is $3 million. Signing is two. Base is one. Same as next year. Next year, base is one. Signing is two. Option six. Cap hit nine.
I'm sure he got like three void years then.
He's got four void at the back end, but he's still under contract for 2027 and 2028.
So I would have to look at it, and I'm not saying bring it up. I would have to look at it to tell you, to be able to tell you the specifics of it.
I don't believe what you just said, Doug.
No, I don't believe any. You have to be able to know what a contract – how do contracts work to like be
so serious around here?
No, but
it's a lot.
James Cook is under your account, by the way.
Okay, here's the point. One, I'm not signing HN to a major deal. James Cook's deal is probably what they're going to ask for. I'm not signing HN to a mega deal this offseason. I've learned my lessons of the past. He's a running back. I would probably ride out his second year unless he takes 75 cents on the dollar. And then I'd probably franchise him. If he makes it through 2 years without fully healthy, then I would pay him. Unfortunately, he's probably going to demand a trade long before that.
Hold him.
Yeah. He's going. Yeah, we're not keeping.
And I'm getting Hugh Holden, and I'm getting Mr. Ollie Gordon ready to go. I don't care. I don't like.
Oh, hold on, Omar. It's interesting you bring this up because, and I know A-Chain isn't on the docket, but this is very interesting to me because when we talk about trade him at the deadline, everybody scoffed. But this is a high probability situation that might happen where you're gonna you might tag him or trade him. Because we're not going to pay the big bucks that we know he's going to get on the open market.
I have control. No, he's not going to necessarily get that on the open market. I have control of HN for the next 2 years. And oddly, Poupard was right when he said the Dolphins have control of Tua for the next 2 years. Last year, they don't have to do this. And he was 1,000% right.
Yep.
And I back then I said you were right, but you do it in good faith to send the right example to the rest of your team and send the right message to the rest of your team. Blew up in your face.
To me, A-Chain is either a part of the future or he's not. And if he is, you might as well go ahead and give him his deal.
He's a back and a small one at that. How can he be a part of your future he's 3 years
versatile.
From now?
He's versatile. He's a little different. He's versatile.
But is he going to last? Is he going to last? That's the question.
Yeah.
Because he's a running back.
We sit here and we talk about Tua's size, which is a factor, Tua's durability, which is a factor. And here we are 6 years later. We're all looking at him like, what happened to him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't think that's going to happen to A-Chain in 2 years? Like,
I know. I'm just telling you what I think is going to happen with the Dolphins. Because I was saying at the deadline, if you can get a second rounder right now, take it.
You should have. Yeah.
Well, here's a better question. Would you keep Tua if he took a pay cut? Now, we all know Tua's not taking a pay cut because that money is his money. Unless you do the whole Stephen Ross checkaroo and move things and add things and turn things around.
And you're just kicking the can down the road, though, if you do that.
It's about clearing that cap space. I guess it's more about your faith in Tua. And I guess, could he be that bridge quarterback? And do you see him bouncing back from two bad years? Yeah, Omar.
I'm not going to start. Nope.
We're all waiting. Somebody else.
We're all waiting on. You're chomping at the bit over there.
Oh, sorry. Again, I would keep Tua just for another year. I if he took a pay cut, it would have to be too significant to the point of where he's not going to take a pay cut. And that's my biggest thing of it. But I understand the actual, you know, what's appealing about him taking a pay cut. Because I always say this, Tua's not a bad quarterback. Tua's not an average quarterback. Tua's not even an above average quarterback where I used to think he was. Tua is a good quarterback. Can he take you to the promised land? I don't believe so, but he can hold an organization down long enough to where you feel like you have the opportunity to go get a guy who can. And that's where we are as a team. You're going to pay him anyway. Build this thing around him. And as you're building, if he shocks the world, great. If he doesn't, now just go get the real quarterback in. You already got it built. So I'm not even so much opposed to a reunion plus another. I know people are going to go crazy when I say this. More than 1 year reunion with Tua, I'm not opposed to it. And it gives him another opportunity to maybe prove it, but y'all got to understand where we're going to be for the next 2 years anyway. This is not going to be like the greatest team in the NFL unless he shocks us, and he'll get that opportunity. So I'm all about the team. This ain't about whether Tua or no Tua. I think that's the safest way for Miami to build this thing around him, because you're paying him for the next 2 years, and then on the back end of that, but you still got a little bit left over. Yeah, you can move on in 2 years. So y'all saying we only got 1 year to deal with money, and then there's no cap implications moving forward.
I think there might be $4 million tied in. That's pocket change to Steve Ross.
Oh, another eight. I believe another eight becomes guaranteed if he's on the roster in March. If I'm not mistaken.
He won't be on the roster in March.
Three? Okay. He will be on the roster in March.
Is he real?
No, you March, mean March of
26. Then he got $3 million. Yeah, so
that was the kicker in his contract.
Yeah, the $3 million. That is pocket change to Steve Ross. Okay. So you don't care.
Well, I say stay the ship for 1 year unless he shocks, but build around him, and you could just replace him if he ain't doing nothing in a year or two if it warrants that.
So TD, are you, if you're talking about dead cap? There is a $34.8 million dead cap.
Yeah. So what's the difference from just keeping them on the roster if you're going to be counting against the cap anyway, 34? What's the point of
– if he's not performing up to par, they'll move on to 34. It's not the same as 99. Seriously, that's a big difference.
No, what I'm saying, Alan, is still hitting anyway, though. Like, he could be your bridge a second year if you need a second-year bridge.
Again, yeah, but depends on how he performs. To me, he's going to be on the roster in 2026. He's going to be on the roster in 2026. And he more than likely, Omar, you'll love this, because I know that's always used to be your famous line. He's probably still going to be better than probably anything you can get in the draft as a rookie, because the Dolphins aren't going to pick high enough. And chances are there's probably not going to be a veteran available who's going to be a clear upgrade. So might as well go with him, since, as you mentioned, he's cap's going to count anyway, but then better ball out next year, because after that, then we'll lead to $34 million.
I actually agree a lot with TD. At this moment, the quarterback that I watched the last month, Tua Tagovailoa, without Tyreek Hill, Tua Tagovailoa is a bridge quarterback. Now the 2025 version, the 2024 version, That guy is an MVP candidate. No, 23 version. I'm sorry. 23. That guy is an MVP. He was an MVP candidate in December. Don't y'all lie.
You built a hell of a team around him. You had like, what, five?
Don't y'all lie.
I'm not doing
this. Five
Tyreek was the MVP candidate.
Yes, he was, but so was Tua. And that, I have to see how he finishes the season, because if he can get back some kind of form, some kind of confidence, throw it some kind of conviction, maybe get Darren Waller back so he can diversify what he's utilizing. Because right now, we all know what the offense is. A-chain a Waddle, A-chain a Waddle, A-chain a Waddle. Like, you know, and maybe we sneak past the Malik Washington, or maybe we sneak past the Julian Hill. Like, come on, man. Y'all like they got any weapons. But I'm not making any excuses for Tua.
Not at all. You'd never, wouldn't do that.
I've made them in the past. The excuses are done. Like, I have. I will acknowledge I have made them in the past. The excuses are done. That's not the same quarterback that I saw in 2020. Right. It's not. And he will tell you that he's not, which is, you know, the weird thing.
But if he's faltering physically, chances are that's not going to get better.
If it's just
an issue of he's off with the timing.
Man, a little more, HGH, you never know.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, a little HGH, right. You know, the blood doping, go take a trip to Germany. You have no idea what could happen. Like, I'm not saying that happens, but
Omar got experience.
So let me ask you guys a question, since we're on the Tua discussion. Why is he the best court? No, I'm just kidding. So say the Dolphins get a new GM, which, you know, hopefully they do, and say the new GM wants to move on from Mike, and Stephen Ross is like, whatever you want, I just want to build a winner finally, yada yada. That's the question. What if Tua wants a trade? What if Tua doesn't want to play for another quarterback?
You gotta have a trade first.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can
incorporate that into, would you keep Tua if he takes a cut?
His tradable market depends on who's the head coach. I think his tradable market depends on who needs a quarterback, who's positioned to go get a quarterback. What is New Orleans' situation? Because I think Tua in New Orleans would work wonders. What is New Orleans' situation? Huh?
He needs that dome, and I think it actually would work wonders for him.
49. It depends Raiders.
Honestly, and if y'all want the true workings of the NFL, it depends on who his agency runs from a GM and head coach standpoint, whose partnership that is, and they work in these backdoor deals, and they figure it out, and you know they funnel him there, and they get him the head coach that he wants, and blah 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 blah. This is all stuff that's so deep throat ish, but he does have a market now. Where's Brian Daboll gonna go as an offensive coordinator? I promise you, where Daboll goes, he'll have a market there. Like it's you know, it depends.
Nope.
It'll be interesting. Yeah,
$54 million though. That's a lot of money.
That's the
diminishing player. So no, what
that's the what elephant.
What GM is looking at the Dolphins season when I go in, like, oh yeah, I got to get this guy on my team? Wouldn't it be awesome if you?
But it's not necessarily that, more the Dolphins trying to make a deal. You need a bridge quarterback. We understand the contract's this. Let's work on something. Let's move money around. Let's do what we need to do.
I don't know what y'all looking at, but there are a lot of teams. And listen, I'm a main person to tell y'all. Tua ain't got no trade market, but when you really break down these teams out here, might have a market. Look at what's happening in Atlanta. Look at what's happening with the Giants. Look at what's happening in Arizona. Look Raiders. At what's happening with the Raiders. I mean, this stuff is out here. Like, there are some desperate general managers that's going to be like, if I could just get a guy to steer the ship and don't, like, blow it in even the easy games. Oh yeah, give me Tua. Bring him on in here. I ain't asking.
Pay a portion of that contract. Help us out. We'll send you a fifth.
Listen, the money I'm not even worried about. We gonna eat that.
Tua and $20 million, for example. Tua and $20 million, Tua and $25 million for a fifth.
I think that's how much you could send another team.
Do y'all not realize we are going to pay every penny? It's just a matter of moving him. I think Stephen Ross is going to pay 80% on that. He's going to pay it.
I'm going to check, but I think there's a max on how much another but they can rework his deal where they pay him $40 million in a signing bonus right now, and then the other team, and then trade him, and the other teams do the rest of the contract. So there's always a workaround.
You can move it around so both teams get cap relief.
There's always a workaround.
There's always something.
There's a cap on how much a team can say, here, take my player.
But there are a lot of general managers right now that might need a guy, like at least five. There's five in the NFL.
Can we finish the season? Can we finish the season and see how he performs?
TD, as it stands right now, what general manager is looking at the Dolphins saying, oh, yeah, I got to get that guy on my team?
You're
got to get him.
Yeah.
Look at the Jets right now. And I'm not talking about the Jets, but new general manager, they got some securities. They know they got a clean house. They already started. Who can man the ship to where we can win 7-8 games and not be an absolute embarrassment while we figure this out?
But that's – franchises aren't looking for a quarterback to get you to 7 wins, seriously?
I know
that. Look at the Dolphins the last 20 years. They've been looking at the Dolphins the last 20 years and adding somebody who can stabilize crap.
Are you taking a shot at Tua, Omar? Is that what you're doing?
Chad Henne.
We're going to pivot and actually fix this damn thing.
Oh, man. Chad Pennington. Let's keep going down the list.
I mean, you're like, what team is going to add a bridge quarterback? This one.
Yeah. So we just need a guy to just manage the game while we hand the ball to Ricky. Let's keep Jay Fiedler here. Then Ricky's like, I'm retiring. I ain't doing this no more. But Todd McShay made a great point that in the top 11 picks, there's seven teams that are going to need a quarterback.
And there's not seven quarterbacks to be had.
Exactly. And that's where the Dolphins can be like, again, let's work. Again, this isn't, Alan, we're not saying that, you know, Tua has a market and banging at the door like, hey, let's go. We want Tua. No, we're saying as a team, we're going to call some people and be like, do you need a bridge quarterback? Because we have a guy. We'll move some things around. We can make it work. There's seven teams. Give us a bag of pennies.
Why would you trade your bridge quarterback?
Are the Dolphins one of those seven teams?
Because they want to be worse in 2027.
Are the Dolphins one of those seven teams?
Yes, Omar.
They want to be worse. Do you want one of those top quarterbacks in 2027?
Bro, listen. Y'all are sitting here like romanticizing all these quarterbacks when they're really not that good. 2027. And then we can go into next year's draft. We can say, oh, let's do it for next year's draft. Remember those quarterbacks that were supposed to be good this year? That are not good this year. The one from LSU, the one from Penn State,
in college.
Omar. One of them about to show y'all this weekend. By the way, from Colorado. I'm just saying. So
really? Okay, he's talking about Shedeur Sanders. But so Omar, you want more years with Tua as a quarterback?
No. I don't care anymore. I don't care. I am at the point
where they broke you. They broke over.
I'm playing with y'all. I watched the Washington game, and I'm like looking at him like, what is that? He got run down by a 310-pound man.
It's like you go overseas to get your eyes checked and clear.
Hey, the water was different.
Like, Madrid water.
Hey, anytime you don't like Omar take, send him overseas to Madrid and bring him back. You'll be all right.
It was that Spanish water. He took a shower, hit him in the face, and he was like,
I'm hoping it's a bad day. Maybe it's really, people have this theory that it's the hip injury. I don't know, but that guy can't move.
Here's my thing about talking about, like, you don't know. Obviously, you don't know anything about any of these draft picks. Because, again, you go back in time, Drake May's going one. You go back in time, like, all these different quarterbacks will go one versus where they actually went. It's about putting yourself in the opportunity to get these guys. And the Dolphins, for me, in 2026, it's about fixing the cap. And the Dolphins, and I kept telling people this offseason, they were not tanking this year because they added veterans who are not going to quit, and they added veterans who are good enough to get you more wins than you needed.
You're right.
And 2026, Because look at 2019. We went out there with a practice squad team every week. The only reason we won the games we did is because we had Ryan Fitzpatrick as a quarterback. If they wanted to tank that year, you put Josh Rosen as the quarterback, and you would have tanked. They weren't tanking this year, but next year, if you get the GM and the head coach, where they're both like, yeah, we need to clear this cap up, and we need to get the quarterback.
They're not going to do that. Come on.
They're not going to do that. For what, though? People were talking about Manning.
You got to put yourself in the opportunity to take a shot.
Oh, the Manning quarterback was going to change football. That guy sucks.
Hey, Arch, he have his moments.
He's no Shador. He's no Shador. That's
no Shador.
He ain't perfect timing.
Listen. It's like what you need as an organization? A good evaluator. Good evaluator. Kansas City didn't need the tank. Kansas City didn't need the number one pick. You know what they did? They said they identified Patrick Mahomes when everybody was like, is he a first-round pick? Is he not a first-round pick? Oh, I don't know. We will see. And then they moved up, drafted him, and the dude sat him for a year, and the dude is the best player in the NFL in his second season. Like, being good at evaluating talent and developing talent.
Yeah, wrong.
Lamar Jackson. Damn, the boy won Heisman Trophy.
Green Bay got Aaron Rodgers when they had Brett Favre, and they got him 24th in the first round.
Yeah,
after that, even with Jordan Love.
Like one of these kids might Shador Sanders the situation and wear his bling to press conferences and tell everybody I don't want you drafting me. And these kids are different. This is the NIL era. These kids are arrogant as crap.
Yeah.
Like they've been millionaires. Some of these guys might take a pay cut coming to the NFL.
Some of them that's what they're doing.
They might decide they're gonna pick their destination. They're not gonna go where they drafted. I want to go to this team. This is a totally new generation of athletes.
Did Quinn Ewers take a pay cut to get drafted to the Dolphins? Huh? Did Quinn Ewers take a pay cut to get drafted?
Yes, he did. Quinn Ewers, I'm told by an agent who knows, Quinn Ewers was offered $3 million this year to go quarterback UNC. And for Bill Belichick, and he turned it down and was drafted in the seventh round and is making like $2.8 million in 4 years.
Backing up.
He don't want to be a part of that.
That's a bad business decision. A very bad one.
Last one we'll talk about, long-term future of Austin Jackson, which is an interesting situation because when he's on the field, he's solid, right? I'm not going to sit here and say like best right tackle or even top 10. He's solid, but it's when he's on the field. What do we do with Austin? As I pull up his contract, what do we do with Austin Jackson?
Depends on who's the head coach.
Punt.
Depend on it. They restructured his contract. So more than likely when they do that, they're committed to him for next season. I don't know. Where can I find
$16 million hit next year?
15.8 cap number next year.
Yeah, they only save like $2 million. The dead cap's 13. His cap hit is 15. They don't really save
unless they do post June 1, but they may need to do that for both Tyreek and Chubb.
He already got 3 voidable years.
Correct.
He out of here.
You're not saving anything.
Yeah, after the contract. I don't see unless he just balls out.
27, he's out.
He's out of guaranteed money after this year. You're allowed 2 post June 1 cuts per year, and they're gonna use those on Tyreek Hill and Bradley Chubb.
So Tyreek's more on a post June?
Oh, big time.
I don't say that about Chubb anymore because I actually believe now
they might re-sign him.
Oh, it is. It's $36 million. Yeah.
Keep him around.
Chubb is playing well and he's developing into like one of the team's top leaders. And
my thing is how long? Yeah, my bad.
What?
No, how long do you go down that road with him, though? Because he's a leader. I like that piece of it. But here's the problem.
You guys are getting
blocked. If you're like, do y'all actually think they're going to build this team to try to win next year? Like, oh man, yes. we got him. Oh my gosh, I don't know why we keep.
Steve Ross ain't getting no younger, man.
I think everything we're bringing in is going to be young. Just draft picks. That's it. That's so, development. So
you need some veterans to show them the way. And I'm with Omar. I could very well see a scenario where they wound up restructuring, which is what they did this year.
I'm talking quality, Alan. When they hit free agency, are we going after quality free agents to help us?
No, because free agents are too expensive now. And here's the thing about free agency. I don't think every GM that's been part of this organization has gone out and said, I want to spend big and buy the biggest free agent that's out there. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's their desire and that's their goal. The problem is, I think that's Steve Ross's desire and Steve Ross's goal.
It was.
Steve Ross has told me, this is a direct quote, free agency is when I can get in the game, when I can play. I know how to spend money. He didn't say that part, but that's when he's like, I don't know talent, but I know how to spend money.
Yep.
And he's paying.
I ain't trying to lose that.
Dansby's been the highest paid player at his position. Mike Wallace has been the highest paid player at his position. The offensive lineman from Kansas City was the highest paid player at his position.
Come on, Brandon Albert.
And Ndamukong Suh was the highest paid player at his position. Byron Jones was the highest paid player at his position. I'm not done. Tyreek was the.
He was for a minute.
Yeah. Steve Ross has no shame in the game when it comes to spending money.
And I don't think he overpays too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody knows he loves that reputation. He loves the reputation that he overpaid because it always gets him a seat at the table.
Mm.
But the last two off seasons, they went away from that route. If you notice, the free agent signings, the most expensive free agent signing they had this offseason was James Daniels, and it was 3 for 24 total possible value. Omar, I know that's not the real value of the deal, but
yeah. He put his credit card away this year.
Last year,
they were a little bit more conservative with the money that they spent. You're right. They went all in on three deals.
We went all in on, in 2022 and 2023. It's not quite working out. We need to slow down. Although
wasn't Jalen Ramsey the highest paid player in his position too?
He was. Yes, he was.
It's like seven or eight players Steve Ross has made the highest paid player at his position. He don't play about that. So I don't think no matter what he's like, that's what he is using to sell to his GM and to his owner. I will do what you want me to do if that's what you want me to do.
That's a strong case for a new GM.
All right,
because there's some owners out here that won't spend a penny.
That's true. Let's get to these donations. 722 watching again, almost at 10K subs. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and be sure to hit the button. Gart Grump with the tour says, anybody see the film on Zeke Biggers last week? He was moving people.
Very, very, very solid game he played.
It's very happy with
it. It was
that.
Like 1990 Dolphins, dude.
I was banging the table earlier. Nobody was listening to me.
Our new GM is Kelly.
I was banging the table early in the season. Mm-hmm. I was harassing the coaches, and nobody was listening to me. Like, why is he not playing?
I'm sorry. What were you saying?
He was hurt.
See what I did there?
Ian with the tour said, Doug, our new GM is Kelly. We're running it back. I don't think they run it back with Kelly, to be honest with you. I could see them running it back with McDaniel. I put a new video out today talking about that. I'm at 60-40. 60, they don't. 40, they could.
He's got to win. He's got to win.
For me, if I'm the owner, he has to get to the playoffs for me to bring him back. If not, it's just redundancy. Exactly why he should be fired. But I don't think Kelly comes back. I think they have an opportunity to get a better GM.
I don't know about that.
It's two different, Doug, it's two different stories of what we think is going to happen and what we want to see happen, or what we think should happen.
Yes.
That's true.
He's not. Poupard's theory is not far fetched. It's very on point because Steve Ross does not want to do this crap again.
But don't put that letter out that you did this year.
Huh?
Don't put that letter out that you did this year. Prime example is what Ian said. $5 donation. Isn't missing the playoffs the status quo? How will Ross spin in keeping McDaniel? Because he fired Greer. He thinks the fans think that's enough. Exactly. You put out this letter to the fans saying status quo is not good enough, yet 6-2 and 6-2, and then you bring them back. You are pretty much saying status quo is good enough, and we can expect 6-2 in 2026.
No.
Go ahead.
He's gonna spin it by saying we identified the issue was more in the scouting department. We think Mike is the right guy to lead us where we want to go. So it's not.
So was that letter specifically addressing Mike Greer or Mike and Greer?
Mike and Greer.
So it wasn't just Mike.
It was a statement to the media. It wasn't a letter to the fans. It was.
Yeah, but it was about.
Yeah, it was a letter. It was a letter.
Technically, okay. Kind of.
Okay, I didn't know.
And it was curated not by Steve Ross, but yeah. Y'all get the point.
Yeah, it was.
It was like he said those words. He signed off on it.
Yeah. Number one Heat fan with the fiver said, "Did Omar just treat Allen as though he was an AI search engine app? Don't you have to pay for that?"
Yes, you do.
How many years have I done that, Alan Poupard? I'm like on a decade of doing that. How do you think we formed this friendship?
Wow, that makes me feel all warm and fuzzy over here.
The funny thing is, when I was down at training camp, I had Alan was like, I think for both days you were like a seat next to me, and I'd be watching tweeting, and then I'm like, who the hell is 40 blah blah blah? And just he would just say his name. He wouldn't even look up. He would just be blah blah blah. I'm like, thanks. I'm like, dude, he's just there. He's just always there.
That's not the beauty of Allen. The beauty of Allen is anything that comes with numbers or memory. Like I could tell you who players are by the way they move. Like I don't even have to see the number. But Allen is just it's the numbers. It's just. They're there. They're in the head. He's just got to figure out where they are and boom, put them out. He's like looking through a file in his brain. And then he's like, boom. Like, what was the Dolphins record in 1993, Alan?
Come on, man. We're 9-7. That year, by the way, that year they were 9-2. It was the year Marino tore his Achilles. They were 9-2. They were tied for the best. No, they had the best record in the league. They lost their last five.
I could do that in any year, and that was what you'll get.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked.
I don't know if I should feel proud of that or feel ashamed about that.
Be very proud. Flamingo Boot with the tenor says, Alan, why would they keep McDaniel as a lame duck coach next year, tied to a lame duck quarterback? Is this the plan? Is this part of the plan? Suck for who?
No, it's the never ending belief in those two guys. Well, hold on. With Tua, it's partly because you're tied into his contract, because you had that strong belief that he was the guy, partly sold by Mike McDaniel when he pounded the table. You got to give that guy his extension. And then there's just a strong belief that Mike McDaniel is the guy.
Garp Gump with the fiver says, hyper-talented running backs are about to get paid big money. The league is changing, as per David Bowie. Running the ball is setting up mediocre quarterbacks.
Running backs, that last year was an aberration. It won't happen. What was again. It?
Mm. Like 2005? 2000? Let's ask Alan. The year, like,
Ladainian
Tomlinson, Sean Alexander, all those guys were getting those fat contracts. What was that, around like 2005-ish?
May have been, because Tomlinson was the first round pick in 2001. I thought you were going to ask, like, there was a year where three of the first top four picks were running backs. That was 2005 when the Dolphins took Ronnie Brown when they could have had Aaron Rodgers.
That was back when running backs haven't gotten paid in what, like a decade?
No, they just got paid last year.
Yeah
but like I'm talking
they just got paid in the last cycle. The Indianapolis back, Saquon got paid twice. Henry got paid twice.
Doug's talking about where the market, where the ink chains get that money too.
Mm.
Like the receivers.
What's the back in New Orleans name?
Alvin Kamara.
Alvin,
I promise you, A-Chan won't get Alvin Kamara money.
Damn. Hey, are we really? I think we're limiting his duality, his ability to line up.
Kamara's the ultimate dual running back, dude.
The problem with running backs is, and this is directly from an agent, they don't even, sometimes some of them don't even recruit running backs anymore. Teams view them like tires.
Yeah.
You run them and then you got to get another one, or you got to have two. And they just don't have the value that they used to have to teams. And so paying them does not make sense to them. They just go get a new one.
Shelf life.
Derrick Henry is probably an aberration of that. And after, and they have the sports science is really, this is not me. This is me like trying to figure out what's happened to the market. The sports science tracks these players and their speed, not just in games, but in practices. And there's a number, and I don't know what the number is, where they know when a back gets to that number, he's done.
Mm.
And it's like universal. And when backs get to those numbers, they're like, nope, no thanks. We're not paying you more than $3 million.
That's what I'm talking about. Because back in the day, they didn't have that sports science. So you had like LaDainian Tomlinson, who went to the Jets and got a big contract. And, you know, all these star running, there's not really star running backs. Obviously, there's Jonathan Taylor and Saquon, but not like it was around 2005, you know, where.
We got maybe a half dozen right now. McCaffrey's another one.
Whereas like it was guys.
That's a good name.
John C. with 20 says, I may be mistaken. No,
McCaffrey got the biggest deal that McCaffrey had the biggest deal for like 3 years.
Yeah, he's a dual threat. He's a really good dual threat, CMC. John C. with the 20-er said, I may be mistaken, but I'm remembering another team this year running 6 O-linemen against us. Browns, ? Good show, guys. KTDFG.
Yeah, they can't protect nothing, so I wouldn't be surprised.
No, he's right. The Browns did use 6, but they used it only in goal line situations. Miami's just using it.
I love that formation.
It's brilliant.
I love the pistol. Number 1 Heat fan again with a 5-er says, hey, Alan. Did you find the holes in Omar's? Tua is the second most accurate quarterback.
All right, let's hear it.
Let me clear something up before we get into this. Let me clear something up. First off, Omar was wrong. He isn't the second. Not about that. Omar was wrong about, because we started talking about his yards per attempt and then his yards per completion, right? It was middle of the pack, lower of the pack, right? He wasn't even top whatever. But people took me laughing at the fact that he had more than Herbert and Burrow that made him, you know, top 10 or whatever. No, I just think it's funny that the weak arm quarterback has more yards per attempt, more yards per completion
than
Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, all these guys. That's it. Okay, now go.
But hold on. I was accurate about him being the second number 2 all time in NFL history in terms of completion percentage. But now, Alan, present.
Net yard adjusted yards per pass attempt. He is tied for 21st with Justin Herbert.
In league or career?
No, this is career.
Okay, for all time.
Yeah, but he's tied for 21st. He's not, and he's tied with Herbert and Burrow's 10. Lamar Jackson's number 1. Hold on, there was 2 or 3 more like this. Adjusted net yards per attempt. Hold on. Trust me, I did my homework.
I know you did. I know you did.
18th behind Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. Shall I go on? You want to go on?
I mean, like a top 20 quarterback all time.
Sure.
Here's
the thing is, he was very good in that department, accurate, and down the field in 22 and 23. The last 2 years has been a check down fest.
No, he was not accurate down the field. He just had a lot of completions down it. Those 40-yard comeback routes are not accuracy. I'm just saying.
Number one Heat fan with the tenor says, this really is a great show, even though I disagree with some of you guys. I really appreciate the different perspectives that all you provide. And number one Heat fan, we love you for that. And thank you. And that you respect the four different
opinions. No matter what, we all have four different perspectives. How could you not agree with one of them?
There's always a fifth.
That's why we started the show.
Like, how did you not agree with one of them?
Flaming Boot with the Fiverr says, I'm sorry, Tyreek isn't the best Dolphins athlete in my generation. Jason Taylor is, in my honest opinion.
It's not even close.
There you go. Ian with the Fiverr says, speaking of tour and international games, him saying Jerusalem would be cool to play in and it's not even in Europe and totally isn't controversial.
Listen, he was just naming site. I was there. Tua just came off the field. He was tired. He was still wearing his jersey. He was just naming places that he'd like to see the NFL go to. He said Hawaii because that's his hometown. And he said Jerusalem because he's super religious. Like, people get over it.
Oh, well, let me say this. Ladies and gentlemen, people don't always have to be politically correct. They don't have to always be politically correct. Like Omar said, he probably was tired. He probably heard, where would you like to play, period.
Oh, Jerusalem. Like, people don't realize half of the foreign people that were talking, you could barely understand. Their English wasn't that great. So, you know.
People got, I think it was either the Falcons, the Bills game, or the Madrid game, where Tua was trying to hype him up in the tunnel, and he said, we got to play for 4 hours. And people are like, look how stupid he is. It's the concussions. He said 4 hours. Yeah. Like,
that's just them picking on him. So.
Like, shut up.
But the game is.
Like, come on.
Hold on. Is the game 4 hours?
No, four quarters. It's technically no, 1 hour. No.
Yeah. They because it was.
But like, you play 15-minute quarters, 1 hour.
Let's go out here.
The game's not 4 hours. The game is like three something. If you go to overtime, you can.
But in sports, people say, hey, 60 minutes. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, but
no. He's talking about I got to be on the field for 4 hours, guys. Yeah. Give me these 4 hours right here.
Yeah,
I understood what he said. I think it was Spain. I understood what he meant. Like, we got to entertain for 4 hours. Give me 4 hours
again. People expecting other people to be politically correct every time. It's unreasonable. All of us are going to be out of compliance.
Like, that look at it as 60
for yourself,
minutes.
All right?
Yeah, you might right. Look at it as 60 minutes. No one looks at it as 4 hours of work. Like, it is 4 hours of work for him.
Dolphins Make Me Cry with the Fiverr says, despite the horrible start, if Miami wins 10 games this year and makes the playoffs, would you still want everyone gone? Yes, I know this is a dream. That is the only way, in my opinion, that I would be like, I'm cool with McDaniel coming back. Other than that, I'm going to be like, this is a waste of a year. Why are we doing this? So,
still make the playoffs.
No, 9 wins is my number. What's your bare minimum, Alan?
For what?
For you bringing McDaniel back.
I wouldn't bring McDaniel back unless it's 9-8. Correct. I wouldn't because again,
so your 9 is your magic number.
And even at that, I still have a long discussion with myself where I go, self, do we really want to go through this again? Because the bounce back from the slow start is admirable, but it's now 2 years in a row that where you put yourself in a hole, basically you're done at the halfway mark. So, but I don't express it very often because I just don't think that's reality. I don't think that's what's going to happen. That's
what, yeah.
TD, what's your magic number?
11.
11, not even 10?
That's my point. That's the point.
It's impossible.
11, he's done. He's
gotta
done.
Got to get in.
And you're at 10, Doug.
It's going to – and watch this. This is what it's going to come down to. I'm going to predict it right now. The Miami Dolphins in New England facing the Patriots with their backups in because they locked up the East already because of that soft schedule.
You know what's going to happen.
And the Dolphins need to beat the Patriots to get in because Buffalo played at 1 o'clock and they lost to the Jets. Why? I don't know. I'm just saying it. And the Dolphins lose.
That's all Dolphins. I totally knew where you're
Mike comes back because Stephen Ross is like, we were so close again. Just got to give him one more shot. And then he sends out a letter saying, listen, ignore the letter from 2025.
If they're playing AI. Look, if they have a win and end game in week 18, even if they lose, I think that that's cause for bringing him back.
No.
Okay.
Because we're going to start 2-6 again.
But why nope? Why nope? Tell me why nope.
Because it's the same more reason I wanted Brian Flores fired when he started 1-7. You're not good. I don't care that you crawl back against, you know, whatever.
They put themselves in position 1-7, but they put themselves in position to win a lot of the games they just didn't finish. I'm not saying I'm campaigning for it, but
Omar, like, we put ourselves in position.
Daniel did it two years in a row. That's why. 2 years in a row of the same thing, no change. The man is still doing the same thing.
You lost a quarterback that last year. You're playing with a quarterback who didn't even know the offense.
That's your fault.
It is.
So,
and I can blame that on bad GMing. And clearly, I have a case.
What we're doing, Omar, we're basically saying the same result is okay. It just depends on how you got to that result. Yes. And that should never be okay. That should never be okay. Just because you got there a different way. Oh, you got to 9 wins starting 1-7. Oh, you got to 9 wins starting 7-1. Like, I don't care how you got there. Playoff win, period. And you're not, and that's done. That's why this ship been done.
Nuance. Gotta have some nuance.
Yep.
In a year, you lose Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, the year we used to
after your offensive line.
This is why you can't use that. We lost Tyreek this year. We lost that person last year. We lost two. You're gonna lose people, and it could be vital pieces.
If you had somebody who built a better roster and actually
better depth
talent on the team, maybe you can endure that.
I'll say this, and we'll move on. Chris Greer already threw Mike McDaniel under the bus for that whole thing.
When?
I need to be more dependent, and I need to stop being a pushover, and I need to stop doing what the coaches say.
That was because his owner told him that directly.
So then again, it's Mike McDaniel's fault that the roster was built poorly because he only did what McDaniel wanted him to do.
Chris Greer let everybody push him around.
It was a mix.
Yes, everybody.
Cut it. Gozer with the fiver said, what are your thoughts on Drew Aller taking him in the third or fourth? He reminds me of Josh Allen when he first came into the league. I wish I could zoom in on Mallet's face. I think that answers all of our questions. Josh,
I like Smith, the LSU. If we're going on projects, give me the LSU quarterback.
I agree.
Josh Smith with the fiver says, I think Tua got caught because he had no intention to run and was looking to pass the whole way. If he committed to the run, it would have been different.
I don't want to hear it. I appreciate you making an excuse, Josh Smith. I definitely appreciate you, but I watched that thing live, and that thing was disgusting.
Yeah.
It was disgusting. A 300-pound man trucks you down like you were a toddler. It was unacceptable. I don't want to hear it. Like, you knew that man was coming for you, and he just ran you down like you were a 4-year-old.
But it was just like the Alabama rundown where he got hurt.
No, was that Alabama? Yeah, but what team was that? South Carolina?
Running towards
Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I kind of jumped on him the same way.
Line of right and hit the way his knee.
Hey, but I thought he was off quick.
Jag, been a member for 4 months, says, if we beat the Steelers, Jets, and Steelers, do we have a chance? Yeah, you know, you're going to face Joe Burrow and the Bengals. You're going to face probably an even more beat up Tampa Bay. It's going to come down to the Patriots game if they go on that tear.
Well, the Tampa receiver's coming back.
Well, we'll see. Ooh.
Mike Evans?
What's his name? The other one.
Oh, yeah. He's my
Chris Godwin?
Receiver. Mbuka?
Oh, the rookie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of them's supposed to be back soon.
Omar, we're taking a shot here.
Oh. Yeah.
Ian with the fiver says, speaking of Achan, remember when Omar and Poop told us him and Savon Ahmed were basically the same players? Sorry, guys, had to.
Ian, just so you'll know, it wasn't just Omar and I. It was everybody. And the only way we could tell them apart is because Savon Ahmed wore
players. Orange. They said on film, the only way they could tell them apart is because Savon wore orange shoes. Yep. Like, it was crazy.
Same body type, same running style.
Same body type, same running style. Absolutely.
Poltergeist with the tenor says, evening, everyone. Been listening to y'all every week during work. Assuming McDaniel survives and the team lets go of Tua, what archetype of quarterback does McDaniel want? Probably the opposite of Tua, to see if he can get something different.
Accurate, quick decisions. That's the type of a quarterback he's going
to
want.
Yeah, in his offense, you have to – I think that's the reason Skyler and some of these other quarterbacks struggled, is because they weren't quick. Like, especially Skyler, I noticed. I'm like, he's got the arm, he's got the physicality. But when he would drop back, he would, like, take, like, an extra beat to decide to throw the ball, and it killed him.
I think John quarterback would be an athlete.
Yeah.
John, if I have a vote, I want a quarterback with a strong arm.
That's an athlete.
John C., what a $50 donation. KTDFG, kick the damn field goal. By the way, Bills game, 19 possession, 19 passes, 19 runs on second down. Comrades, Commanders game, comrades. Hard to watch that one over, but I'm guessing no passes. Appreciate the giant donation, bud. Kelly with the 20. Love the show and watch every episode of your individual podcast, which all of us greatly appreciate. I'm here for all of it as long as our running back is A-chan.
Oh, I forgot to tell y'all. Yeah, no, I told you all in the text, but I was in Barcelona in I forget what the church's name is. There you go. It's just
it's very fluent, Alan. Very good.
It's like the number one thing in Spain that everybody has to see, and you tour it. It's a church. Very overrated to me, but you know, I got great pictures. And a guy comes up to me and is like, "Omar, just glad to meet you. I listened to the Dolphins Collect. I just listened to the Dolphins Collective this morning episode." And that was the day after we had taped that. He's like, "I love you guys. And I appreciate everybody who found me in Spain. And you people are awesome. I'm very proud of what we're building here because it's very unique space." Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's keep it rolling.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah, we love everyone, especially overseas.
Oh yeah, TD man, the guy at Home Depot, you his dude, bro. You his dude.
Coco.
Jay Fins with the fire.
I give the Home Depot story. You overseas.
I ain't give you the Home Depot story. I told you.
No, you ain't telling the Home Depot story, but it's all right.
Did you? Oh, I got a funny one. When I went down for the Giants game, I went to the car rental, and the guy was like, "Dougley, I love you, man. I love your stuff." I'm like, "I appreciate you. Do I need to have a reservation in the car?" He's like, "Yeah, man, I love you. You do need a reservation. We're not going to have a car." I was like, "It's all good." I walked away.
We love you. We don't love you that much.
Jay Fizz with the fire said, "Did you guys see the video with Mike McDaniel and Debo? Looks like we found our Tyreek replacement for next year because he is a free agent."
What money?
He's not Tyreek, though.
The Foo family with the 20 says, "Y'all remember when Flores went after the Bengals player and coaches? Give me another coach with that kind of passion for his players." I loved that. That was like me prime, like run through the wall for Flores.
Imagine that coming after you.
And then they blasted him. I was like, get him, Flores. I was like, that's my coach. I love that one. And then finally,
your management problems.
Ian with the tenor.
That was badass. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Ian with the tenor says, "Even if the Fins go 10-7, it's basically impossible to make the playoffs due to tiebreakers. Chargers, Chiefs, Texans, Jags all get in over the Fins. I'm with TD. If you don't get in the playoffs, we fire McDaniel." Yeah, we're at the point, and again, this is why you can't start 2-6, especially against AFC teams. We're at the point where if you want to make the playoffs, you have to hope other teams lose. Plain and simple. But we're going to get out of here. We will see you guys Tuesday, 7:30. And then we'll say happy Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is after Tuesday. But we'll see you Tuesday.
Let's say it again Tuesday.
Sure. Happy early Thanksgiving. We'll talk about Tuesday, kind of the week, like this past Sunday, the games that happened, how it affected the Dolphins, whether draft picks or playoff seed. We could talk about that stuff. But we will see you Tuesday. We out, Cub Scout.
Peace.